Hallelujah. Let us pray. Dear Father, good morning, God. As the sun rises this morning, we say thank you. As the birds chirp, we say thank you, God, that we're able to feel the warmth of the sun, hear the chirping of the birds, God. We say thank you. Oh, Father, as we move around and begin to focus on you, we say thank you. Lord, as you are the joy of our salvation, our hope, our peace, God, we say thank you. We thank you for this day, oh God, and we thank you for the people everywhere. We ask you, oh God, to allow your anointing to be refreshed in us, oh God. Allow your Holy Spirit to abide in us, oh God. This morning, God, when we rose, God, we didn't have any doubts that you, God, were still on the throne. And we thank you, God, for allowing us in your presence this morning. Thank you, God, for allowing us to pray to a God, our God, who sits high, yet he looks low, who is surrounded, oh God, yet he surrounds, who is powerful, yet all-powerful, God. In the beauty of holiness this morning, God, we want to worship you. So we thank you this morning, Father. We thank you this morning, Son and Holy Spirit, for abiding in us, with us, around us, and over us, God. We give you glory now, God. We ask in the name of Jesus that the word that you have prepared this morning will prepare your people to further worship, to further serve, and to further be able to live in the beauty of holiness. This morning we say amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Blessed Holy Spirit. Good morning, Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministries. Good morning to our covenant partners, people everywhere. We just say good morning. We will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. Our soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me this morning. Let us exalt his name together. Come on and give God some praise with me. Give God some praise. If you believe God this morning, if you know how to praise God this morning, go ahead, give a hand clap of praise. Thank you, God, wherever you are. You can put it in the emojis. You can send up some hearts. If you love the Lord this morning, God, with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and you know how to praise him. If you don't know how to praise him, just lift your hands to the hills from whence cometh your help. You begin to give God glory. God, we thank you. We thank you for keeping us another day. We thank you, God. We give you honor, God. Oh, it's so easy to praise him because he has done many, many great works. Amen. Oh, glory to God this morning. This morning, saints, we want to take some time to talk about and reflect on one of the most important events in the lives of us as Christians, that thing called Holy Communion, the observation or the taking thereof of Holy Communion. I want you to go ahead this morning and prepare your elements if you haven't already. We will be observing and participating in the taking of Holy Communion before we go off air this morning. So we want you to get your elements in place. If you have juice and crackers or you have juice and a piece of bread, listen, whatever you're going to use, it's symbolic. So you get those elements in place, symbolic, I tell you, symbolic of the blood and the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. We ask a question this morning. Why do I take this? Why do I take this? Communion, the reason for it, the reason for taking it. Why do I take this? Our scriptures are going to come this morning from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And we're going to be reading in your hearing the 23rd through the 29th verses. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 23rd through the 29th verses. And those are going to be our focus for this morning. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. And it reads as follows. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, it says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. My God, my God. But let a man, it goes on to say, examine himself. And so let him eat of bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I'm going to read that one again. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That's the word of God this morning for the people of God. As we think on the taking of communion, why do I take this? As we think of how over the years and through the years, we have done just that. We've observed, we participated. And remember, before we were baptized, we weren't allowed to take communion. Some of us were curious about baptism because we wanted to take of the communion. I can remember times when, as a younger child, I just looked on at my older siblings who were taking communion because they had been baptized. And that is the ritual and routine of the Baptist church. I can speak to you from my perspective of growing up in the Baptist church and the partaking of communion. If you were not baptized, you were not allowed to take communion. And even if adults came into the church who had not been baptized, oh my God, taken down under the water, no communion was served to them. My goodness. Did we take that as if you eat and drink unworthily? Damnation to yourself and not being able to discern the Lord's body. See, you have to have an understanding of the body of Christ. You have to understand what this actually represents this morning. Let me just share this little story with you that I shared some years ago. And it goes like this. A little girl asked her mother, Mommy, why do you cut the ends off the meat before you cook it? The girl's mother told her that she thought it added to the flavor by allowing the meat to better absorb the spices. But perhaps she should ask her grandmother, since she always did it that way.
So the little girl found her grandmother and asked, "Grandma, why do you and Mommy cut the ends off the meat before you cook it?" Her grandmother thought a moment and answered, "I think it allows the meat to stay. I think it allows the meat to stay tender because it soaks up the juices better. But why don't you ask your Nana? After all, I learned from her. And she always did it that way." The little girl was getting a little frustrated, but climbed up in her great-grandmother's lap and asked, "Nana, why do you cut the ends off the meat before you cook it?" Nana replied, "I had to. My cooking pot wasn't big enough." So there. Do we do things sometimes because others have done it? Do we do things sometimes as a ritual and routine? This reminds us this morning. We do a lot of things in our life and we seldom ask to ask why. We develop habits and traditions, and if we are not careful, we can forget why we do certain things. So as we observe things going on around us and we pick up those habits and those traditions, do we really know why we're doing it? Is it what Mommy or Mother did because Daddy was the head of the deacon's board? Is it because my father was my pastor and my mommy the first lady? Perhaps we're doing it because our friend or our big sister or brother did it. Perhaps we're doing it so that others in the church won't look at us strange because we're not doing it. Perhaps we're following the instructions and motto of Nike, which says, just do it. But I have to tell you that this morning in these scriptures, Paul is reminding the church of Corinth. I'm going to teach this morning. Paul is reminding the church of Corinth about the purpose of observing the Lord's Supper. You see, they seem to have forgotten the purpose of the Lord's Supper. This was post-Christ. This was after Christ had gone on to back to glory. So they begin to come together to observe the Lord's Supper, but they begin to turn this thing into a feast. Almost a kind of, if I may, a fifth Sunday union when we came together and everybody brought food and dishes, and the hosting church fed the people and the multitudes came out. Come on, God. They begin to take this thing as a feast. However, those who didn't have didn't get to eat. So if you didn't bring your food with you, you didn't get anything. They begin to feast among those who had food, those who were able to buy food, and they've neglected and begin to forget about those who were poor, who couldn't afford the meals, who couldn't bring anything. Come on. We know how we've done it in churches sometimes. If you didn't bring anything, don't expect to eat. Come on, let's be real this morning. But Paul was reminding the Christians in Corinth about the purpose of observing the Lord's Supper. He turned to them and he reminded them that they were celebrating in partying ways. They were making raucous parties at which the poor were treated unequally. It says, Paul proceeds in this to relate the institution of communion. He reminds them why communion was set up in the first place. In his account, he says he received from the Lord. If we look back at that 23rd verse, he says this, "For I, Paul, have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." I'm giving you the word. This is it, that the Lord Jesus, let me remind you of what happened, how this thing came about, what took place. The same night in which he was betrayed, it says he what? He took bread. The same night after his comrade, one of his followers, his disciple, Judas, betrayed him that same night. Remember, he said, he who dips in the cup with me is the one that's going to betray me. Do you remember that? He needs to remind them. That same night, he took bread. And when he had given thanks over that bread, Christ broke that bread and he shared it out. And he said, "When you take this, you eat of my body." Now, I can imagine that the disciples, they followed Christ. And they believed him, and they believed in him, and they trusted him, so they did what he asked them. But do you think they had the full understanding of what was taking place? Christ wasn't setting that up just for them. He was setting it up for those to come after them. That's us. He said, remember, they couldn't get the full concept of it like we can now, because we can look back as Paul did. He looked back and he said, do you see what happened? Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. After this thing, Christ similarly, after he broke the bread and reminded them, this was a representation of his own body that's going to be broken for you. I'm going to be beat for you. I'm going to suffer for you. He reminded them even of similarly of the wine as he poured it and he shared it. And we need to remember that in scripture, wine and blood are frequently connected. But it's connected through symbolism. Deuteronomy even reminds us or refers to wine as the blood of the grape. If we look at Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter and the 14th verse. Remember, after the supper ended, we're going to teach communion. Communion, why do I take this? After the supper ended, Christ raised that cup and commanded his disciples to remember him whenever they drank from it. And this was a part of the communion of remembrance. We take communion to remember him. We take communion. We partake. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So that we don't forget his sacrifice. Sure, the disciples at that time were probably a little confused by this thing. However, they were used to hearing Christ say some things that were hard to understand. Do you get that? That they had to just fully trust him? And whatever their deeds were, and whatever he gave them to do, whatever assignments he put before them, they had to believe him and trust him. They may not have always understood why he told them to do a thing, but they understood that to do that thing, oh my God, meant to honor him and to honor his Father. Oh my goodness. Jesus referred to the cup as the cup of the new covenant. You see, God had made an old covenant with the people of Israel. Thank you, Lord. Y'all done need some air. Thank you, Lord. He had made the old covenant with his people during the time of Moses. That was also sealed with blood, but blood of sacrificial animals. The new covenant is between God and all those he has called to faith in Christ. That's the new covenant. This is the cup of the new covenant. All of those of us who believe that God is, who believe that Christ was the Son of the Most High God, who believe that he died for our sins, who believe in communion, who believe that the bread represents his broken body, who believe, you have to believe it in order to take a part of it. That, oh my gosh, go back for a moment. If we go back, oh, thank you, Lord. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood of the body and the blood of the Lord. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And it goes on to say in that 29th verse, for he that eateth and drinketh, how unworthily, how unworthily, how unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, it says, to himself. Why? Not discerning the Lord's body. Come on, give God a praise right there. Give God a praise this morning, because we are discerning the Lord's body. That means understanding that Christ's body is what was given for us. We are understanding his sacrifice. He wasn't butchered like a lamb just to be butchered like a lamb. He was butchered like that as a lamb so that he could be sacrificial, a sacrifice. Oh God, the greatest sacrifice. What manner of man would lay down his life for a friend? Christ did. Christ did. Thank you, God. Cup of the new covenant. The new promise. God made a covenant with Israel through Moses. God made a covenant with us through Christ. Come on. God made a new covenant. This is the cup of the new covenant. Covenant, the new promise. When we call you our covenant partners, because we are all under the same promise. We are all under the promise of salvation. We are all under the promise of eternal life. We are all under the promise of, oh God, living this life more what? Abundantly. Because Christ says, I came that they might have what? Life. And have it what? More abundantly. Not death. Christ did not come for us to die. Christ came so that we might live. He died for us to live. Thank you, God. Somebody needs to get that this morning. Your life you're living right now. Yes, this life is going to end, but you will live on eternally. Oh my gosh. You see, when we go from this life, we go to sleep. The word of God says to be absent from the body. Do you get that? Absent? That means come out of this body. That doesn't mean you're dead. To be absent from the body is to be present with what? The Lord. Come on, give God a praise right there. How many of you want to be present with the Lord when you leave his body? Because you're going to have to leave at one point or another. This might not be your day. This might not be your year. But when your time comes, you got to give this thing up. Christ gave up the ghost. He left from that physical body. Come on, God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, God. Breathe. Thank you, Lord. So how many things do we do in our lives just because others did it or others do it? How many times in our lives have we repeated situations over and over again? We become repetitious people. We become repetitious worshipers. How many of us are raising our hands in the presence of the Lord so that somebody can think we are praising? Listen, when that unction comes on, your hands will go up. You don't have to push. You don't have to prod. Oh my God. When the Holy Spirit and the anointing comes upon you, you will have a full discernment of the body and blood of Christ. Come on, Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive what? Power. Power. Thank you, God. It's about power. It's about an elevation in God. When you truly understand the blood and the body of Christ, you understand that he sacrificed and that your life has to now become a sacrifice. You have to begin to sacrifice this world, this earth, so that you can stay before God, so that everything that you are seeking in the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Stop, oh God. Who, Jesus, this morning? Come on, God. Come on. Stop doing it because they did it. Come on. Oh, God. Do it because you understand why you're doing it. Take a part of something because you understand why you're taking it. The thing now is you be the change. You be the change. You teach your children about the blood and the body of Christ and not just let them partake. Come on, God. Word of God says to sit down and tie that thing around our neck, to sit down with our children and to talk about the word of God, the meaning of life in the word of God. Why do I take this? What's the reason? What's the reason? What's the reason? Because I believe in Jesus Christ. Because I believe that it was God himself who walked in flesh. Because I believe that it was God himself who suffered on the cross. I believe that he died. He gave it up for us. I believe that he rose again. God raised him up. Raised him up. And I believe that he ascended back to the Father. I believe that one day he's coming again. One day he's coming again. But until that time that he comes, he said to do this. Do it in remembrance of me. He said, take ye and do this in remembrance of me. Be reminded that communion, the bread, the wine, the cup, come on, God, represents the new covenant. We have a new promise from God. We have a new relationship with God. We're entitled. Some of us want to live in entitlement. We are entitled to salvation. We are entitled, oh God, thank you, because of the sacrifice, because of Christ. Oh God, we're entitled. Yes, a true entitlement. Oh, that's a word for another time. A true entitlement to live holy and righteous. Stop looking like you don't know who God is. Stop walking like you don't know who God is. Why do I take this? I take it because I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm going to walk in righteousness. Stop looking like you are in charge of the world and God is in charge of you. Come on, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, God. When he was just laying down his life for our sake, for our sin, he'd already left us with something to remind us, but also to honor. It's also about honoring the memory, the life of Christ. It's also about honoring the sacrifice. It's about honoring the resurrection. It's about honoring, I have to tell you, it's about even honoring the crucifixion. Every aspect of his life is honored when we partake in communion. Come on, give God a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We want him to prepare us. Yes, God, we want to live pure and holy. We want to be tried and true. We want God to be God over our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.